scripture comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The servant came back and reported this to his master, who ordered his servant, "Go out quickly and bring in the poor, crippled, blind, and lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out on the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full."
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say, "I am rich," because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say, "I am rich," because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks.
More than 1.5 billion people today have little or no opportunity to hear the name of Jesus. Many of them live in isolated geographic regions and cultures where there are no churches, and no missionary has ever gained access to where they live. Others are in areas like Iran and Afghanistan, where there is hostility and resistance to the gospel, and danger for any who would dare go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. On the coast of India, on December 26, 2004, some of those barriers came crashing down. In 11 countries, more than 225,000 people died from a tsunami on that sunny day. In India, a pastor named Parameswaran lost 10 family members, including his 3 children, whose hands he was trying to hold when the wave overtook them. Filled with grief, pain, and heartache, this modern-day Job was pushed to his limit by his Hindu family.
There was the next day my brother came, he was shouting, "Where is your Jesus? Why he did not save you?"
After a season of grief that included thoughts of abandonment and suicide, God began to work in Parameswaran's heart. With a desire in his soul to be used by God, he reached out to orphans in nearby villages.
And so he came to us and asked the Southern Baptists if we could help set up his orphanage.
Filled with compassion, Southern Baptists responded by providing all the physical needs to start the orphanage. Now, 4 years later, God has once again blessed Parameswaran and his wife with 2 new children and 20 orphans, who not only think of him as father, but now know their father in heaven. Parameswaran's story is just one example of how anything is possible with God, and how the more than $17 million in aid given by Southern Baptists has opened doors once closed to the gospel. Because you gave through the cooperative program and to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, your missionaries were in place and able to respond quickly. Through the doors that were opened by the tsunami, in India alone, more than 1,400 new churches have been started, and over 12,000 have accepted Christ. Resources provided by your giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering are helping missionaries define the people groups that have no access to the gospel, and then follow God's plan to engage those peoples. Jesus made it very clear, if we are his disciples, the mission is ours. What will you give, and what will you do, so that those who are missing experience the joy of knowing Christ?
Who's missing? Who's mission? It's one of our great privileges that we have to be a part of a denomination that believes in missions, believes that this gospel, as our Lord commanded, should be preached to all of the world, to all people, to all nations, without exception. Many still need to hear that invitation to the banquet. But the banquet is really a metaphor for, I believe, eternal life with Jesus Christ. We want others to experience what we've experienced, the forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life. So many still need to hear the invitation. It's why we're still here. Why the Lord has not come as yet. Because there are many yet to be reached with the good news of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to find and invite them to the Lord's banquet. The missing is our mission. So we're going to look this morning at this passage of Scripture, the parable that Jesus told about this banquet. He was preparing. A certain man, he said, was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, now you may wonder, why didn't he plan a little better? This was customary. It would take a lot of time, more time than today, to prepare a banquet for a lot of guests. I think we would understand that. And so at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant, to tell those invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." So I want to suggest to you that there's a message that we have, that we are to share, that we are to be, we are the servant in this parable, if you will. Now, I understand that Jesus was the one who set the example. He's the one who came and brought us this good news. He not only brought it, but he purchased our salvation with his blood on the cross. There's nothing we can add to that. But we are to be as messengers sent from him. We are to take this message to those who need salvation. And I know that in our world today, it's politically incorrect to claim that you have the only truth. But we're really not claiming that. We're not claiming any more than what the Bible claims for itself. The Bible says that it is the only truth. It is the only, Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. That's very exclusive. Think about what Christ has done in your life. How He has liberated you from the guilt of sin. The fact that He has given you grace through that redemption He purchased for you on the cross ought to compel you to want to have, to want others to have that freedom, to have that joy that you've experienced in your salvation. So in this message, there is ascending here. Jesus in this parable spoke about this man who, a great man, I think we would say this is God, to represent God here in this parable. And at the time of the banquet, He sent His servants, that's us, or servant, you individually, but us as a church of Jesus Christ. We have that message, come, for everything is now ready. That's very important, come, for everything is now ready. Did not Jesus say, I'm going away to prepare a place for you? And when I come again, I will receive you unto that place, that where I am, there you may be also. And He spoke too about this marriage feast, the Bible does, the marriage feast of the Lamb. I think we all like to eat, don't we? And it kind of shows. And that's why we're out walking around the block a few times after that, a good Thanksgiving meal that we've all hopefully have enjoyed. You took a nap and you fasted for the day probably, right? I heard otherwise. So I know you had enjoyed a good meal. And I hope that all of you did. I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and that your heart is just full as your stomach of the blessings that God has given. Well, we are to go. We are to be sent. We are sent. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, didn't He? He's given us a command, a commission, we call it, the Great Commission. So there's the sending here in this parable that, incidentally, we all need to obey that, don't we? It's not just for a select few. I know He spoke it to His disciples, but very clearly the message of the New Testament is that we are all His disciples. If we love Him and we want to serve Him, we want to follow Him, then it is our duty to share this good news. And by serving, the man is called a servant here. He sent His servant. And that's really, I can't help but think of Jesus and how He washed His disciples' feet, how He really acted out the part. It was more than just an act, of course. It was real. He came to serve us, and we are to serve others. We are to gird ourselves about with that towel of service, and we are to at least figuratively and metaphorically wash one another's feet. We save others by serving them, by loving them. I think it's not enough anymore. I don't know that it ever was enough just to tell people about Christ and tell people about needing to be saved. We also need to serve them, don't we? That's what Jesus did. So there's a serving and there's a saving, obviously. That's the purpose of God in sending this message. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you only know that one verse, you have the responsibility and the privilege of sharing that good news with others. So there's a message here. There's the missing. Well, who are the missing? Well, I think they could be put into three categories. And I'm going to suggest three categories based on what Jesus said here about those that are missing. Who are those that are not going to be in the in that group? Well, I think one will be in that group, as we'll see. There are three, and the first is the unconcerned. Jesus said in this parable, Now, this is after the master sent out his servants, saying that the feast was ready, and come to the feast. Apparently, these were those that had already been invited. I think that these are those like us who've known about the Scriptures. We've known about salvation. Perhaps we grew up in a Christian home. Certainly, the Jewish nation would come to mind as those that the Bible says, Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Well, some did, of course, we know that. The 12 disciples, certainly. Paul, many of the Pharisees, and many of the priests were told, became obedient to the gospel later, but not at this time. But I think it's because maybe that we are so privileged that sometimes there is an unconcern because of that privilege. And we really haven't heard the gospel like someone who maybe has never heard it before and heard about a Savior who died on an old rugged cross, who took the place of the sinner, each of us, and died, took our punishment and died on that old rugged cross and was risen again from the dead. How wonderful is the gospel. There's no other message like that. There's no other religion. You know, religions are just man reaching up to God, man's feeble attempt to try to reach God. This is different. This is God reaching down to us, isn't it? God sent His only begotten Son. So, the unconcerned. Well, what do we do about the unconcerned? I'm not sure that we should spend a lot of time reaching people that are unconcerned, frankly. I think that we should reach those that whom God's heart, God has prepared the hearts of. And sometimes we waste a lot of time, I feel, and I'm not saying, us here and only us, but as a church of Jesus Christ, I think sometimes we try to convert those that maybe are gospel hardened. You probably heard that term. I believe it's why we as a denomination, and we're certainly not the only missionary denomination, but we believe that we are to take the gospel to the ends of the earth and to those whose hearts are hungry, those who want to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, what do we do about the concern? Well, I think what the servant did here, they simply told them about the gospel. And I think told them in love, told them with an anticipation that they would accept. But when they did not accept, they didn't continue with that, trying to convince, trying to persuade. But they went to those whose hearts were hungry. So that's the second group that I would suggest, the uncovered. Those that, here in Jesus' parable, he said the servant came back and reported this to his master. Those that had made excuses, I didn't print that up there in the verse there, but I want you to refer you to that scripture passage. There are three excuses that were given. None of them really very good. None is really good enough to miss the greatest decision of life, which is to accept God's invitation. And so there were those that were still to be reached. So the servant came back, we're told in verse 21, and reported this to his master, who ordered his servant go out quickly and bring in the poor, crippled, blind, and lame. Now, you may know that these were people who were not even qualified to be in the temple. Now, that seems kind of shameful to us, but they were not qualified at least to come in to the holy precincts of the temple because they were considered defective. But these are the very ones that Jesus said we are to bring in. Those whose hearts are hungry. I think that's the idea. Those who realize that they need God in their life and they need a transformation of their life that only Christ can bring. So these are the ones that they were supposed to, or the servant was to go and find, the uncovered. And then the unfound, those that were yet, I love this, when the servant came back, and I don't think I put this in the verses up there, but in verse 22, the servant came back and said, "Sir, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. There's still room." I love that. There's still room for you to be saved. There's still room for you at that banquet. I know that there was a famous dinner recently at the White House. Two party crashers that came in there. Apparently they didn't have the right credentials, even an invitation. In the banquets that we have here, there are those limitations. But I love this, that in that banquet, there's still room. God is not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance. And our duty is to find them. And I think not to write off any particular nation or religion. I was reviewing some of the videos. I think the one that I'm going to show next week tells about a martyr, a woman who went as a doctor to, I think, a North African country. And you'll learn about that next week. Who gave her life to reach a people. Some would say these are people that are unreachable. But I think if we do not go, we're going to be held responsible. And if we do not maybe physically go ourselves, but we can enable others to go through our gifts and through our prayers. So we need to be about this task of our Master that has been committed to us as His servants, to find the missing. So here is the message, the missing, and the mission. Now, what is the mission? Well, first of all, obviously, people. People, we're all really the same that way. We're the same species. I don't go with this belief that we're, somehow different races of people. We're all really the same species. God created only one human race. And we are all descendants of Adam and I believe Noah, according to what the Scripture tells us. We're all related that way. We're all made in the image of God. And we all need to be saved because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that we all must give account to God of what we do with Jesus Christ. And so we are to go with that message to people. God so loved the world. Well, that world is the world of people. It doesn't mean He loved the sphere that we live on called the earth, or that He... Now, I know, I believe God does love animals, and I don't want to suggest that God does not love animals. I believe He created the animals. But it's people that are going to be saved or lost for eternity, going either in one of two places, heaven or hell. And it's a great task that has been given to us, this mission of sharing this good news of salvation through Jesus Christ to people. So there's the mission of people. The places, of course, Jesus said, go out into the roads and country lanes and make them come in. I think He meant just wherever people live, we are to go. I think if we do not go, we are disobedient to God. And God will one day call us to account for that. So it's why as a people, a church of Jesus Christ, we believe it is so important that we reach people wherever they are. I believe our focus this week or this year is on those unreached people. Those people that maybe other mission efforts have written off and maybe thought, well, we'll go someplace that's safer. Someplace where people accept us more. Now, I know I did mention that I think we waste a lot of time with reaching people whose hearts are hardened. But I don't really think that's true of, for example, the Muslim people. Now, these are the people maybe we feel fearful toward. Maybe we feel like these are people who already have a religion. Why are we trying to reach the Muslim people? These are people that we would say, well, these are people that are going to hate us for that. No, I don't believe that they're going to hate you. They're not going to hate us. And I would rather, if that be the case, I would rather be hated here than to have God say to me, why did you not try to reach those people that I love? Those people that I sent my son to die for on that old rugged cross. I think it's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Go out into the highways and the hedges, the roads and the country lanes, it says here, and make them come in. So we are to go wherever people are, and we are to go with the purpose of sharing them with them the good news. And it's not saying, come and suffer with us, although there's going to be suffering, of course. As we all know, Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow after me. But we remember what Jesus said, or what the Bible says about Jesus, when it says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. And I really think that there was joy as Jesus went to the cross. I think He went there with a smile on His face, with a joy in His heart, because He knew that He was accomplishing redemption for you and for me. He loved us that much. And we have the great, glorious purpose and the privilege of sharing this good news with unsaved people around our world, whoever they are, wherever they are. But those whose hearts are in bondage today need to be set free, and they will not be set free unless we take the good news to them or enable others to go.